The Venturi's Voice podcast brings together some of technology's brightest minds to discuss all things leadership, technology, and staffing. Keep the conversation going in the Venturi's Voice Slack group and have the opportunity to meet some of our amazing guests. You can download Venturi's Voice via iTunes or via the Venturi Group website at venturi-group.com. Today's guest is Alberto Giorgi, Director of Engineering at Tray.io. Thank you so much for taking the time, Alberto. It's been, you know, I've been looking forward to this one, actually. I think it's quite a nice thing to do midweek is to have to spend this time, have a nice conversation, and I suppose it certainly beats working for a living anyway.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's, it's always interesting doing these things because I think everyone kind of gets something a little bit different from it each time we do them. I don't know whether that's a good or a bad thing on my part, but at least some people get something out of it. But one of the more interesting things I think that tends to happen is that it gives you a bit of time to, I suppose, draw perspective on things, on your own career, what you're working on. That kind of time seems to be particularly rare these days, to actually have that kind of thinking time. Interesting that, just before we started recording the show, you mentioned that, on Wednesdays, your company has everyone kind of work from home as like a bit of a policy. The initial thing that made me think of was very much in line with this podcast, in that, it can be that reflective time and creates a bit of headspace. Is that actually typically the case, I suppose, with having the opportunity to kind of work from home and maybe looking forward trying to engage in more of these kind of podcasts and activities?
Yeah, exactly. So the idea is for having a day where there is like a very few meetings scheduled, like a very few face-to-face calls that we do. So people definitely will concentrate more on their work. Or again, if we have to do something like this, like a podcast, it would be that gives like a great opportunity and to be more reflective and to be a bit more focused on your job rather than communicating all the time. And we still use the chats, like we use Slack a lot, and we will still communicate on when needed, but we are still encouraging to take this day as like a reflection time.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I think, I like structure, and I think it's still important, but it's also, we are kind of humans. I suppose by nature, we're not as disciplined as we'd all probably like to be. So I think it's difficult at times to kind of fight against that, I think it's interesting what you guys are doing by like kind of giving the Wednesday off and very much being bought into that. You've obviously worked at other companies before this. Is this kind of unique to your experience, in previous organizations?
Yes, that is unique for this organization. I was previously working for a software development company. We were like a Google software development vendor. Mm-hmm. So we were pretty much used to the routine of going to the office every day, and there was a bit less flexibility on the time, and definitely it wasn't part of the culture working from home, and obviously that comes from like a larger company mindset where working from home is normally discouraged. And what I find is when working from home, I'm definitely more focused on the task at hand. And if I need to write a longer piece of content, I can do that on Wednesdays. Like if I need to program and mm-hmm. concentrate on like a more complicated and complex task, that would be the perfect day for doing that.
Yeah. And right in the middle of the week as well is perfect, I think. I really like the timing of that. Do you think that you know, obviously you're kind of originally from Italy. The world seems to be becoming a much more smaller place with obviously technology now. Do you think that it's going to become a world of very much kind of working from home, you know, and do you think that's a positive thing for kind of, I suppose, total, you know, work from home cultures?
Yeah, I would say that depends on the role pretty much. Mm-hmm. In my experience, for example, we have our talent manager team and they work remotely. Some people from the sales team in San Francisco, they also work remotely at the moment. But for programmers and for software engineers and for program managers and project managers and so on, there is still a great value into being at the office. So that will encourage more. You know, a lot of people talk about this serendipity of the fact that the best idea come when people have like a random encounters at the office, and we are also trying to encourage people across team to meet. So we are recently like exploring a new app that is called Dune, if I remember correctly, and that basically is a series of notification that sends you over Slack and basically encourage people to meet randomly and go for coffee, like again across team, and obviously that also helps with onboarding, and it would set up like a series of catch up automatically, and then also will give you like statistics about what people feel about the company, and then it is also can be selected as anonymous.
Yeah.
So we use like again a mix of in-person tool, and then a lot of it we try to automate and as much as possible, because that's also the focus of our startup. We are like a company automation. We provide like a company automation workflow for that is quite general purpose. So we try to be invested in that space as much as possible.
Yeah, I think so. You know, obviously now being a director as well, you can't help, I suppose, but, you know, think about things from, you know, a people perspective, you know, and the impact that these, you know, these work from home, the kind of flexible working hours and all that kind of stuff have on, you know, your the talent that, you know, works below you. I think it's staggering when you get into those kind of senior roles, how important that becomes, and there's a whole strategy behind that. Just wondering about kind of your transition, I suppose, into that kind of role where you first started being like fully conscious, I suppose, about strategy to managing people and things. Do you kind of recall that kind of time period where you had to become more conscious and, you know, where you kind of look to for, I suppose, support and, you know, how to kind of build your own kind of philosophies around that?
Yeah. So that happened around the time when I joined Toaster. Toaster is my previous company where I was working for. And we initially were like just a small group of people. We were about four people at the beginning. And the founders were they are mainly design and branding in terms of like their background. And I joined as their first like a technology expert in that sense. And when I joined, I was working as a software engineer, but at the same time, I was like naturally gravitating towards people management and team leadership. So I always wanted to do and to cover that role as well as being a great engineer. And so as the company grew and then we got more clients and we got more projects, I decided to be and also like I was empowered by the rest of the team into becoming a more of a tech lead and starting getting involved with hiring and with recruiting and also in building the engineering company culture. And over the years, I've hired, let's say, up to 25 engineers that we that recently joined the company and like also opening new offices. So I witnessed the various stages of the growth of a company from like a very, very small assemble of people that did not have much in terms of like process and organization and onboarding, and into becoming like a much, much larger company with like many offices around the world and with like a much more distributed team. Like we were always working across continents for most of the projects. We had offices in San Francisco, in London, in India, and in Singapore. So it was a great experience for me in terms of learning how to manage like different time zones and to making sure everybody felt taken care of, even though they were like in a very far away country from London.
Interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting. And you know, the motivators behind that are interesting as well. You know, did you find that you discovered things that motivated people that I suppose you had considered before during that experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Like initially, I didn't have much experience before in terms of like managing people. So my first experience was not it was not the best. And I remember like the first time I started hiring, I didn't really know what to look for, and I always been one that was like reading a lot of books and going to conference. I still go to meetups very, very often, a few times monthly, I would say. And basically, I always been trying to get like myself the best documentation that I could get and the best training I could find for myself. It's pretty difficult to find, I believe, like to find a good mentor when you are a manager and you don't really have, and you are in a small company and you don't have anyone to refer to in terms of like leadership above you. So the way I did it from myself was about basically confronting with other people that were in my similar situation, especially that there are like pretty good meetups in London in terms of like tech leadership. And there is like a meetup about CTOs in London that is really, really good. And obviously listening to podcasts like like this one is very, very important. And over the years, I become much more, let's say, scientific and more like analytical about what I do. I try to measure the impact of a decision when we make them. And we started like sending surveys to employee to understand where we could improve and in terms of like structure and process, and again introducing tools like the one I was talking about before, so people could like anonymously like send you feedback. And a very, very important aspect of the role of being manager is certainly doing the one-on-ones with all the employees. So this gives the employees a chance of talking with their manager or on a monthly basis and talk about things that are not necessarily related to project, but there are like more long-term objectives and what they would like to do in the long term or what is their long-term career goals. And also those meetings are a great platform for the manager to give feedback to the employee in terms of like how they are performing and if there is anything that the manager can help with. We need to remember that the manager is always there to support people and to empower people and not to direct and to tell people what they have to do, because we hire very smart people and they need to find their way themselves. And there is always this tendency, and I had that tendency at the beginning, to micromanage. And the manager definitely needs to resist from that. And the manager should create a culture that is that empowers their employees.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Did you, you know, it's, there's a lot to digest there, I suppose, firstly, but, you know, building your own kind of, I suppose, you know, your own management style, was it clearly must have been taken inspiration from elsewhere. But at the same time, did you ever feel like pressure to kind of carve your own lane out? Or, you know, was it always kind of something that you was a work in progress and potentially still is a work in progress, that you are looking for inspiration, you're looking for, you know, your peers? You know, how do you even approach that process to be, you know, get better and better and try and quantify what good looks like? Because I suppose when you're, you know, when you're an engineer, when you're coding, like, you can see that that feedback loop's there. You can see that you're getting better. You know, you can just see it, right? That it's quantifiable. You can see exactly how you're getting better, how you're improving. You know what you need to do. And at times it's not quite as simple as that, I suppose, when it comes to people. So obviously that kind of sense of fulfillment is, I suppose, quite a lot different than when you were probably an engineer and were more hands-on. So how do you kind of build it so, one, you kind of can try to internalize improvements and what good looks like, and two, you know, have that level of satisfaction within yourself, so you can feel good about what you're working on as well, because that's also something that I think is massively important.
Yeah, yeah. So the way we get feedback on how we are doing is typically during the yearly reviews. Basically, we ask every software engineers to rate their manager, which, like, it could be me or it could be like another technical lead on their team. Mm-hmm. So they would rate their manager on in terms of like technical ability to push back on unnecessary requests from stakeholders, when the ability to protect the team, and as well the mentorship ability and all like other related fields. So definitely that has been like a great platform. And more from a company level, we would measure like staff turnover. And obviously now in the era of internet, it's very easy to see how the company employees are feeling, and typically Glassdoor would be like the perfect outcome if somebody is not happy about their work and there is like a lack of direction and they don't feel they are valued, they would typically voice their concern in on public forum such as Glassdoor and other similar website. So definitely that is a measure of the ability in terms of like your managerial skills, and that will eventually trickle out into the ability to deliver towards your goal as a company. Like a more happy staff will be more inclined to help each other in difficult times, and it will champion the team. And you will start seeing people taking ownership of their project, and when they feel valued, and when they know that they're not going to be told off if they fail. We need to transfer this concept that failing is good as long as you fail fast and you learn from your mistakes. So if you have a culture that encourages that, it will be helpful for you in the long term.
Interesting. And it's, did you personally feel as well that, like, you were, you know, you ever had that kind of lag period where you were kind of struggling for that sense of fulfillment, or did you not so much?
As in, like, struggling in terms of not being managed?
No, just like, you know, how, just, you know, the sense of fulfillment that you get from work, you know, you go from hands-on to all of a sudden a position where it's not, and like, we, as you were just mentioning, feedback loop is different. Did you ever, like, just on a personal level, like, struggle with that to get, you know, was it a lag where you had to come to terms with, you know, this, what success looks like is going to feel completely different from now on?
Yeah. So absolutely. Like, especially at the beginning, when I moved my role from engineer to manager, I because obviously the platform is not there yet, and it's very hard for manager to understand if they are doing well or not. It's right. It's more of a long term thing. So the way I'm coping with it is more because I still miss being an engineer and to produce deliverables every day. I'm still relatively hands-on, but not as much as I was before. So the way we've been fixing that is by organizing like regular meetings with the software engineers. Mm-hmm. For example, we had this Tech Friday meetup inside the company where people they present their best work they've done during the week, and then they showcase to the entire company, and then everybody has a chance to give feedback and to understand the architectural decision that have been made for some of the past projects. And also we regularly have like a technical architecture meetings where me together with the developers and other part of the management team can have their inputs. Obviously, you need to be really careful because you're not anymore like the best person to make the engineering decision. And the software engineers, they understand that very well. So you need to be very careful when you give feedback and give like an informed feedback. Absolutely. So it has definitely been a learning curve for me in terms of understanding how the type of feedback and the type of comments I can make, and the fact that at some point I need to step out and decide that I will have to delegate some things rather than doing them myself.
Yeah.
And where and how apply my leverage, and where I can have the best impact.
Interesting. You know, the passion and obviously the drive is obvious, you know, with talking to you. For you, you know, we've talked a lot about how you kind of structure and motivate teams. But for you personally, you know, when you start out and you think about what were the key drivers and what, you know, really made you feel good and what allowed you to have the level of success that you've had to this point. Is there anything you think that's been consistent that you could probably, you know, attribute to the successes that you have had thus far in your career?
Yeah, for me personally, I would definitely say that I enjoy the people management part. So I definitely see myself as a mentor rather than a technical architect. So that for me, that comes more naturally, because I feel that for myself I like that aspect of the role. That's why I decided to go into engineering management rather than following the engineering technical direction path. So the difference is subtle, but I think it's depends on, again, the individual preferences and individual abilities. In my case, I feel I can make the most impact in that sense. I still miss the being the technical point of reference, especially now that I've joined like a new company, and I've only been at Tray for a couple of months, so I'm still very new to all the process, and still I feel the need to make the best impact and the best decision I can make. And it's not easy, and it's not, there's not really a solution that fits all, but I believe that probably this is the best decision for me and for my career in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Do you still kind of keep your hand in though? Do you still do a bit of, you know, fun work on the side, or, you know, keep that kind of technical itch ticking over?
Yeah, I have a few side projects that I still look after. I also have a meetup that I organize and I follow as well. So this meetup is called Progressive Web App London.
Oh, nice.
And basically it's it gives like developers a chance to learn about the latest developments in terms of web apps. Like progressive web apps are new apps that are able to achieve some of the native functionalities in terms of like notification, offline support, and in general like are very responsive and can be treated by mobile devices as if they were like native apps. So it's a new and very, very interesting technology that definitely I always like to talk about. So what I do, I try to balance my managerial aspect with the more like technical and I would say organizational aspect outside the company as well.
Awesome. Well, I think like say it's you have to do both, and I'm sure that you still feel a kind of sense of responsibility to, you know, keep up to date with everything. And I'm sure that was kind of the first love for you anyway, right? Was, you know, was the technical side of things.
Yeah. So I always try to keep up with the latest development. I am specialized in web development and like a cutting edge web, what is new with the platform, with the web platform, what is that is going to delight the users the most, and what is the best and fastest way to deliver a website. Mm-hmm. And that is like something that still attracts me. And this is where I put my side projects, and I try to be up to date with the latest technologies in that sense.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's such a fascinating space to be in. Do you ever, I suppose, have to kind of pinch yourself at times and think, you know, it's been incredible that I've been able to kind of make a career out of something that you know you probably would have just done anyway?
Yeah. It is fun. It is fun, and I feel very, very lucky because I love what I do, and that is also a sector that pays well, obviously. So it's also a good career choice. But at the same time, this is not web and tech in general. It is not something that you can do as a 9-to-5 job. It is something that you need to think about. At least that's the way I think about it. It is something you need to think about, like every. It needs to be a passion, because it's quite hard to do, and if you don't have the right passion and the right attitude towards being stuck into a problem for days and never give up, and if you don't have the right passion, you're never gonna do the right strides and be successful at what you do. But having said that, I feel lucky because I had like quite a few. I joined companies at the right moment, and I feel like I've been in the right place at the right time. So that also is very, very important for your career.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's a good point to reiterate. You know, the amount of effort and work that needs to go into, you know, I suppose, you know, getting to the next level. But I think, you know, you only are probably willing to put in those hours, you know, if you genuinely have that passion about it. That's at least my perception on things.
Yeah. Like typically, a very, very committed software engineer would code all the time. So I'm not advocating for people to be overworked, because right. Obviously that is that leads to burnout, which is another complex topic we could cover. And it's not healthy for the individual, and it's not healthy for companies that encourage this way of working. So burnout happens when people don't feel like they have control over their work, and they don't feel empowered, and they feel their work is meaningless. And that's something that we need to be extremely watchful for. And especially inside the tech companies, where it's very easy to give more work to people and to be always pushing for a closer deadline and be extremely hard on deliverables and so on. So that's something that we need to be extremely mindful as an industry.
Definitely. I think that's industry. A lot of industries need to be kind of very conscious of that as well. you know, I'm obviously conscious that we're kind of coming up to about 30 minutes now, so I won't keep you too much longer. Are you a person who kind of plans things out? Do you kind of make kind of short and long term goals? You know, and if not, like, how do you kind of approach, you know, looking forward and continuously trying to kind of push yourself to be better? Do you have kind of a, you know, do you ever put times on things? How do you kind of approach that side of?
I always put like long-term goals for myself and for my improvement. And for example, one of my current goals is becoming better at public speaking and being better at being a communicator in general. So another of my goals is being better at managing and being able to successfully grow team and build processes around that and making sure people are at their best and they are happy to come to work and so on. So that would be like my long-term goal. And I do that by, again, I would set like yearly goals for myself in what I want to do, and to decide where I want to be in 2 years' time, in 1 year's time. Will I want to be in the same position? Will I want to have achieved something specific? So I would definitely set like yearly goals for myself. And from that, I would also making sure that I take steps like almost every day towards that. So another way for me to improve in my career, for example, is I'm currently like trying to join professional organizations. Like one of them is the IEEE, and the other one is in the UK. It's the IET. It's called. So again, joining those professional organizations is great, because when you apply for it, they ask for a kind of a overall resume throughout your career, and that is a great point for yourself, right, to understand, what have I done in the past few years? Have I achieved anything meaningful? They always ask, what have been your awards? What have you done in terms of like team management? Mm-hmm. So I think like trying to set goals in terms of, I want to join this professional organization in 1 year and I want to become like a senior member. That could be like a long-term goal that you can set for yourself. Yeah. And I think that is very powerful to improve yourself.
I like it. It's been really cool to talk to you, Alberto. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We'll leave it there. So, thanks for listening to the show. I look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts on this episode over on the Venturi's Voice Slack group. See you next time.